بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 15th of April in the year 2018 الحمد لله we moved on to the 15th session that we're going through the commentary of the glorious Surah Hud alayhi salatu wasalam and I've reached verse 69 So, inshallah, today, going through up to and including verse 73. So, verse 69. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There came our messengers to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam with glad tidings. They said, peace. He answered, peace. And hastened to entertain them with a roasted calf. So now after mentioning a few things about the Holy Prophet Salih alayhi salatu wasalam and his nation, Allah the Almighty and Glorious is now mentioning a few things about his beloved Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So in this verse, the first thing to point out is Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions that the messengers gave glad tidings, bushra to Ibrahim. So what are these glad tidings? So he mentions here, Hafiz ibn Kathir in his commentary of this verse, in his tafsir, he states, it has been said that the word bushra, glad tidings, means receive the glad tidings of Ishaq, alayhi salatu wasalam. Whilst others have said it means the destruction of the people of Prophet Lut, The proof of the correctness of the first view is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's statement, and he recites verse 74. Then when the fear had gone away from the mind of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the glad tidings had reached him, he began to plead with this for the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam. So here, Hafiz ibn Kathir was simply saying that the commentators, they said the glad tidings could refer to his being blessed with a son called Ishaq, alayhi salatu wasalam, or the destruction of the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the first view is obviously the correct view. Because just a few short verses later, Allah Ta'ala mentions it again. When he says, when the fear had gone away from the mind of Ibrahim, and the glad tidings had reached him, he began to plead with the people of Lut. Meaning it has to refer to Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the first thing. Then if you look at the holy verse, it says he quickened to entertain them with a roasted calf. But actually the verse reads, bi'ijlin hanith. So here in Ibn Jalil and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas and many others, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they said the word hanith means roasted upon heated stones. The word hanith means roasted upon heated stones. So the calf was actually, this was the type that was used. It was heated on stones. And this is what the word hanith means. Who were the messengers? The messengers here, and this indicates a very important point about the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, they're not always aware that the angels are with them. So here you notice, these were, as is famously known, Jibreel and Mikael, alayhi salatu wasalam. So as is known to everybody, they don't eat. They're full of dhikr. So why is Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, providing food for them? Because he didn't know. So why is that important to highlight? Because in a very famous report in Sahih Bukhari, the angel of death came in human form to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam struck him and gave him a black eye. And the report continues. Why did he not recognize him? And why the people who object to this hadith, because why would he strike an angel? The answer is he didn't know. He thought this person had entered his chamber without permission. But then they go, but a prophet always knows an angel is present. No. The Quran testifies. And here is a proof. Two angels came to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Did he know there was an angel? No, they didn't know. until they clarified themselves. This is something important to highlight here. The other thing about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is in Ibn Hibban, Kanzul Umal, volume 9, page 152, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, the first person to entertain a guest was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The first person to entertain a guest was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning, he set the standard. And if there's two men, why would you roast a calf? Isn't that extravagance? So the ulama said there's no extravagance when it comes to guests. You're supposed to go out of your way. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said in Bukhari and Muslim, he who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, let him honor his guest. Meaning, if you don't honor your guest, do you truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day? And of course, the rights of the guest is one day, one night, and then three is sunnah. After that, it's up to you. Right? So these are the rights that Allah has given them. Meaning, it's not something that you should think that you're doing out of your own sense. It's their right. Allah has given them that right. And they can actually demand this right as well, which is strange for many people to reflect. How seriously did Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam take this? The report mentions that he would travel a mile or two. He would never eat alone. He hated to eat alone. He would go a mile or two to get somebody to share his food with him. And we're the exact opposite. Even in the holy month of Ramadan, we don't share food, let alone, you know, finding guests. Astaghfirullah. So, and then of course there's a famous report where once he was looking for the guest and he found a Zoroastrian, a fire worshipper. And he was going to give the food and he asked him, because who do you worship? So he goes, the fire. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, you're not having my food. And the man left. He thought, he invites me, then he tells me to go. And then Allah the Almighty and Glorious then said to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes, I fed him for 70 years. Can't you look after him for one night? So then he runs back, he calls him back, he goes, please forgive me, please eat. The man's confused, he goes, one minute you're telling me to go, one minute, what's happening? He goes, my Lord has rebuked me for your sake. And the man then embraces Islam. So note, and also, there's a hadith in Kanz al-Umal, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the guests enter the dwelling with their own rizq, and they leave with the forgiveness of their host sins. So this is the mindset, meaning that when you're actually preparing the food and drink for them, it's not, you're not preparing nothing. That was their food. And Allah goes, it's their rizq. But what, how you benefit is when they leave, you get all your sins forgiven. And this is why in Kanz al-Umal, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that Allah Ta'ala blesses a household when he sends them a guest. Meaning that this is a sign of, you know, blessings. So not many things could be mentioned here about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Verse 70. But when he saw their hands went not towards i.e. the meal, he felt some mistrust of them and conceived a fear of them. They said, fear not, we have been sent against the people of Lut. So like I mentioned, he didn't know they were angels. So when they didn't eat, why did he become perturbed? So here Sayyid Qutb rahmatullah alayhi says in his commentary of this verse, he says, volume 9, page 277 of the English translation, to this day, country people and Bedouins consider it a grave crime to act treacherously towards someone with whom they have shared food. Hence, if they refuse to eat someone's food, their action suggests that they either intend to do harm or that they do not trust the host's intentions. Hence, the messengers revealed their identity to Ibrahim about their mission. They said, verse 70, do not be alarmed. We are sent to the people of Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam realized what sending angels to Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's people meant. But then something else happens and the subject is changed. Verse 71. His wife standing nearby laughed. She might have been pleased by the imminent destruction of the evildoers. Then she is given her own news. Verse 71. Whereupon we gave her the happy news of Ishaq and after Ishaq, Ya'qub. So here Sayyid Qutb rahmatullah alayh, he said this is a tradition to this very day. If you don't take the food of your host amongst the Bedouins and country people, they consider this a great insult. Meaning either that you are insulting them or you're harboring some evil against them. But this is well known. Us living in the West, we haven't got a clue. Right? So this is why, because you know he conceived some fear. Therefore they revealed their identity. But then it says his wife laughed. So why would his wife laugh? Because she, according to Sayyid Qutb rahmatullah alayh, she was happy that Lut alayhi salatu wasalam's people were going to get destroyed. Or she was given the glad tidings of a son and a grandson thereafter. So this is one comment. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, he mentions some other valuable points. So in his commentary for this verse, he states, and this is a very important point, from this point in this verse, so Hafiz Sunni, he relates the report, rahmatullah alayh, and this is again the reference I've given, also Ibn Jarir's tafsir. He states, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, they set out walking in the form of young men until they came to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and they were hosted by him. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw them, he rushed to host them. Where is that mentioned? Surah 51 verse 26. فَرَّاغَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ فَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. Then he turned to his household and brought out a roasted calf. So stopping the quote. So Hafiz, Shaykh Sudi rahmatullah alayhi, he said, they came in handsome images of a men, and Ibrahim alayhi salatum rushed to look after them. He slaughtered the calf, roasted it on hot stones, and brought it to them. Then he sat down with them, when he placed it before them, saying, will you not eat? They said, O Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, verily we do not eat food without a price. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, this food verily has a price. They said, what is it? He said, you must mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over it before eating it, and then praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon finishing it. Jibreel then looked at Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam and said, this man has the right that his Lord should make him his intimate friend. Then Sudi rahmatullah alayhi recited verse 70. فَلَمَّ رَعَاءَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ. But when he saw their hands went not towards the meal, he mistrusted them. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw that they were not eating, he became scared and frightened. Then when Sara radiyallahu anha looked and saw that he was honoring them, she began to serve them and she was laughing. Refer to verse 71. She said, what amazing guests we have. We serve them ourselves, showing them respect, and they do not eat our food. So this is a commentary of these verses. So what are the highlighting important points? First is, the men didn't reveal their identity. So, but Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, the food has a price. So they asked, what is the price? Because you take the name of Allah at the beginning and at the end. And then they whispered to each other. He certainly should be the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala is greatly pleased after you have ate or drank that you thank him. He's greatly pleased over this, whether you understand it or not. The second thing is, in Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever thanks his Lord after eating and drinking, he is like a patient fasting person. Allah gives him the reward of a fast. So this is why he had this habit, he had Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But when they didn't eat, look how interesting, Ibrahim got some sort of fear in his heart, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Sarah, she started to laugh. But what was that laugh according to this report? It was kind of a sarcastic laugh. She basically said, look, we've got, how amazing, we are serving them, respecting them, they're not even eating our food. So this is another interpretation of what's mentioned here. They thereupon, like it mentions in the verse, said, fear not, we have been sent against the people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Verse 71. And his wife was standing and she laughed. when we gave her glad tidings of Ishaq, and after him of Ya'qub, alayhi salatu wasalam. So now we know why she's laughing. One is, like we mentioned, it's a kind of a sarcastic laugh, saying we're serving them, we're honoring them, they're not even eating our food. The other is, she's laughing because she hears that Qawm Lut's going to be destroyed, the evil news. But then it mentions, we gave her glad tidings of a son called Ishaq and of another, Ya'qub. So here, this is an important point. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayh, he recites verse 71 and he says in Al-Bidayah, in this there is evidence she would be happy with the birth of her son Ishaq and after him her grandson Ya'qub, alayhi salatu wasalam. That is, he would be born during her lifetime and he would delight their hearts just as her son had done. So Hafiz Ibn Kathir said, why would she be happy? Because she'd be alive. He's not being given any children at the moment, but she was going to be alive when she was blessed with her son, obviously, Ishaq. And then she's going to be alive when Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam is going to be born. Think about that. So she's thinking, I'm not going to have children. Allah Ta'ala is saying, not only are you going to have a son, you're going to have a grandson, and you're going to live to see it. Hafiz Ibn Kathir also says in his tafsir, in his commentary of this verse, he states, from this point in, this verse, there is an evidence for those who say that Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam who was to be sacrificed. It could not have been Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam because the glad tidings were given that he would have a son born to him named Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. So how could Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam be commanded to sacrifice him when he was a small child? And they had not been born to him a child yet, named Ya'qub, who was promised. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, and there is no breaking of his promise. Therefore, it is not possible that Ibrahim wasalam, was to sacrifice this child, Ishaq, wasalam, with the condition being as it was. This makes it clear that Ismail wasalam, was the son that was to be sacrificed. And this is the best, most correct, and clearest evidence of this. And all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very clear proof. Who was sacrificed? So you go to the Muslims. Some of them haven't got a clue, right? But we should know it was Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Jews, they say it was Ishaq. So without going into all their evidences, we need to know our evidence. Somebody goes, where's the clearest proof it was Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam? How many of you would have said this verse? Imagine, Bole Bale Musulman, right? How many of you would have quoted this verse? And even if you quoted it, they'll look at you and go, how's that telling you that it's Ismail? Because if Allah Ta'ala has promised that they're going to be blessed with a son, and he then promises immediately you're going to be blessed with a grandson, then it becomes a farce. If he says Haq, so he takes his son Ishaq, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam is thinking, well, I'm not really going to sacrifice him. Because Allah Ta'ala has promised me a son through him as well. It becomes a joke. Therefore, it can't be Ishaq. So who is it then? It has to be Ismail, the eldest brother. But no, Allah Ta'ala sometimes doesn't mention things because it's obvious. And yet, you get this view. Question, is there a view amongst the Muslims that it was Ishaq? Yes. But all of that stems back to Ka'ab al-Ahbar. And Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu said about Ka'ab al-Ahbar in Sahih Bukhari, he is truthful, but we found mistakes within his statements. Meaning he doesn't lie, he's not a liar. But he states things and they're not true. So that's a beautiful clarification. Why? Because Ka'ab al-Ahbar, he was a rabbi. So when he became Muslim, he was still saying his haq, alayhi salatu wasalam. But he wasn't lying. You know, he just thought that was the correct, what he thought. So Hazrat Muawiyah was beautifully saying, he's to be trusted, he's an honorable man, but we've detected mistakes. Right? So note, there's a proof that this is, of course, the one who was sacrificed, or to be sacrificed, was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Verse 72. She said, Ya waylata, alas for me, shall I bear a child seeing I am an old woman? And my husband here is Shaykha, is an aged man. That would indeed be a wonderful thing. So now she's finding it strange. Sara radiallahu. Question, why did she find it strange? So Shaykh Maududi rahmatullah alayhi, he says in his commentary of this verse, according to the Bible, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was 100 years old at the time. And Sara radiallahu anha was 90 years old. This is in Genesis 21:5 and Genesis 17:7. So according to the Bible, they were not just old, they were, you know, reaching, you know, the end of their lives according to, you know, normal human standard. Ibrahim's 100 years old, he's had no children, imagine. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Maybe Ismail had been born at that time, alayhi salatu wasalam. But Sada had nothing. At that time, imagine, you'll have a son. And you'll also live to see your grandson, Yaqub. Also, this proves that their names were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't just, you know, bless with us. Who should we call you? Allah Ta'ala's called him Ishaq. And then you had a grandson. Who do you call? Allah Ta'ala's called him Ya'qub. That's interesting. So these names are very special. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that name your children after the prophets. Allah Ta'ala chooses their names in his great kindness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes he chooses a name that's never been used before. In Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Yahya alayhi salatu wa sallam, he goes, call him Yahya, which no one has had before, this name. Now what's strange about that beautiful name? If you look at the English equivalent, it's John. So imagine somebody goes to you, what's the most popular name you can think of in English? John. And yeah, when Allah Ta'ala gave that name, he goes, nobody's been called this before. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. And also, which is interesting, if you look at another passage which you'll do if you're still alive, Surah 51, verse 21 to 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there in Surah Dhariyat the etiquettes that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam showed in honoring the guests. But it's not relevant here. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning some other things. But we'll go to that if you're still alive, inshallah. Verse 73. They said, do you wonder at the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his blessings be upon you, O Ahlul Bayt. For he is indeed worthy of all praise, full of all glory. So now, another thing which people find strange. Did Sarah see the angels? Was she conversing with the angels? So the answer is yes. Prophets aren't given this exclusively by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Righteous people see the angels. Righteous people also converse with the angels. The most clearest example of this is Maryam, radiallahu anha. Here again in the Quran, Sarah, she's clearly seeing these angels. And she's actually conversing. And they're conversing back. So this shows that the status of the human being can be very high. And we are also open to this. This is a maqam open to us, if we're willing to sacrifice. But people have very shallow, you know, ambitions now. They're more concerned about dunya. Right? And if you look at some of the awliya, the gifts that they were given, it defies comprehension. But you can ask me after. So now, how did they talk back to Sarah? They said, Rahmatullahi wa barakatu alaykum ahl al bayt. So now here, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He's clearly telling you something about the household. So who were the angels talking to? Only two. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Sarah. How did the angels address them? Ahl al-Bayt. So what does that tell you from the Quran itself? Who are Ahl al-Bayt? It's the husband and the wife. And in extension you can say the promised children, the sons. In extension you can say that. Somebody goes, okay, so what's your point? The point here is that the deviants, the misguided Shia, they say the Ahl al-Bayt are only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his daughter Fatima radiyallahu anha, and her children. They exclude the wives of the Prophet because they're not Ahl al-Bayt. So a person goes, well, why have they done that? You know what? Why have they excluded the wives? Because of their concocted belief. They believe the Ahl al-Bayt are like the prophets in all aspects, barring their name. So whatever you can think of a prophet, they're like that. So what do I mean? They receive revelation? Yes. They see the angels? Yes. They don't commit sin once in their entire lives, yes. So these are the Ahlul Bayt according to them. We don't believe that. We believe the Ahlul Bayt, Allah protects them, but they can fall into sin. They're not like the prophets. Because of that belief of this, of imamat, they have to exclude the wives of the prophet. They have to. Why? Because the wives of the prophet also are the daughters of Abu Bakr and Umar. And they attack Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar. So they exclude him. So the question is, how can you explain to these deviants that the wives of a prophet are Ahlul Bayt? And you respond by saying, read the Quran, you fruitcakes. What did the angel say to Ibrahim Ansar? Clearly in the Quran. You can't say it's a weak verse. They said, Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh alaykum Ahlul Bayt. So now, there's a report, I'm going to mention it. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, number 3897, Hassan Sahih. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 26,570. Tabarani in his Kabir, 9-11. Al-Bidayah, 8-35. Shaykh al-Bani, rahmatullah alayhi, states Sahih li ghayr. In Sahih, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, number 3038. Our beloved mother, Salama, radiyallahu anha, she relates. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once put a cloak over Hassan, Hussein, Ali and Fatima, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And thereupon made the following dua. Allahumma ha'ula'i ahlu bayti wa khashati afhib anhumur ritsa wa tahhiruhum tathira. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the people of my household and they are closest to me. Remove from them filth and purify them with a thorough purification. Salama asked, radiyallahu anha, wa ana ma'ahum ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I too amongst them, Ya Rasulullah? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Innaki ala khair. Verily, you are already upon goodness. So this is the hadith. So now, the deviant Shia, they say, this proves that the wives of the Prophet are not Ahlul Bayt. Because how? Because the Prophet didn't put Salama under the cloak. She asked whether she was Ahlul Bayt. Am I amongst them? And the Prophet said, Innaki ala khair. You are already upon goodness. So we can obviously argue the case. Well, how do you interpret that to me? She's not Ahlul Bayt. Because the Prophet already said, you are upon goodness. If you are upon goodness, you don't need to go under the cloak. And he goes, no, she wasn't under the cloak. This happened in the dwelling of Salama. This is in Sahih Muslim. Why did the Prophet not put his noble wife under the cloak? Because Ali was under the cloak. Ali was an unmahram. Right, so she couldn't go under the cloak. Obvious. Therefore, in Sahih Muslim, Salama radiyallahu anha said, I asked, am I not part of your family, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, of course, come under the cloak. Then she got under the cloak after he had finished his dua for his cousin Ali and two sons and daughter Fatima. So the hadith in Sahih Muslim is explicit. He said, you are of course part of my family. Of course you are. But you want to be under the cloak? All right. So when they left, he was placed under the cloak. So note how selective the shayateen are in quoting things. Hence the Prophet testified that she's also Ahlul Bayt. Also in another report, in Ibn Asakir in his Arba'een on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers, number 36, page 158, Sahih. Salama radiyallahu anha said, this verse was revealed in my dwelling. Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 33. إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only intends to keep filth away from you, O august family, and to purify you with the total purification. I asked, Ya Rasulullah, am I not of the Ahl al-Bayt? He replied, you have better. You are one of the wives of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I.e., your status is assured in the Quran. She continued, and the Ahlul Bayt are Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein. So this adds a detail. The Prophet ﷺ was saying to his wives, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, you are better, you have better. Why? The Quran. In Surah Ahzab, the context shows it's the wives of the Prophet being referred to. And in this verse of the Quran, the wives are mentioned of a prophet. You are better. You don't need me to clarify. But the cloak was to highlight there's other people who are my family as well. Well, he loved Salama that much because you can also go under the cloak if you wish. Meaning you don't need to. But all right, go under the cloak. So now, is there an explicit report with regards to the other wives? Yes. In Sahih Bukhari, Nasai in the Sunan al-Kubra 6-75, Fath al-Bari 8-388, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 8, page 25 of the English translation. Zainab bin Jahash, the Prophet married Zainab bin Jahash radiyallahu anh. Some men had not left his dwelling. He then went to visit his other wives. As an Anas said, there were three people left who were talking in the august house. The Prophet left until he came to the apartment of Aisha. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As-salamu alaykum ahlal bayt. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, O Ahlul Bayt, and the mercy and blessings of Allah. She replied, and upon you be peace and the mercy of Allah. How did you find your new wife, Ya Rasulullah? May Allah Ta'ala bless you. He then went around to the apartments of all his holy wives and spoke with them as he had spoken with Aisha, and they spoke as Aisha had spoken. So what does it say here? Clearly, in Sahih Bukhari, he went to every one of his wives' dwellings, Hujarat, and he said, As-salamu alaykum ahlul bayt wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Every one of his wives. So they're rejecting verses of the Quran. They're rejecting sahih hadith. But they're selective. And this is why Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh said that the sign of the innovators is that they are very selective in what they quote. They are exposed when you look at the totality. And there you go, with regards to the misguided Shia, just because of their warped belief of imamah. Otherwise, they'd have to say all the wives are infallible as well. They can't commit sin. But they've got a problem. Why? Because they believe that Aisha had a problem with Ali. So how can Ahlul Bayt, they say, have a conflict? The answer is, who's Ahlul Bayt? Your Ahlul Bayt or our Ahlul Bayt? So who therefore are the Ahlul Bayt? And the answer is given. In Sahih Muslim, number 6225, Riyad al-Salihin, Ibn Jarir, Qanzul Umal, volume 5, page 95. Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 7, page 682 of the English translation. Mishkat, volume 4, number 6, in the chapter on the people of the Prophet's household. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 561 of the New English translation. Hussein ibn Sabra, rahmatullah alayhi, he asked, who are the Ahl al-Bayt or Zayd ibn Arqam, radiyallahu anhu, are not his wives, members of his family? Zayd ibn Arqam responded, radiyallahu anhu, certainly his wives are members of his family. However, the totality of the members of his family are those who are not allowed to receive sadaqah after he passes away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked, who are they? Zayd responded, they are the family of Ali, the family of Aqil, the family of Ja'far, and the family of Abbas. Radiyallahu ta'ala. He asked, were all of these forbidden to receive sadaqah after his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's passing? He answered, yes. So this is our belief. Who are the Ahlul Bayt? The Shia say, five. That's it. Sons, class. Is that respecting the family of the Prophet? Is that making a joke out of the family of the Prophet? We say, all of them are certainly the family of the Prophet. We love and honor, venerate them. But also all his holy wives. The Quran says that. Unless you want to reject the Quran. Also, the family of his older brother, Ali's older brother, i.e. Ja'far, the family, Aqil and Ja'far, also the family of Abbas, his uncle's children. Because all of these are Ahlul Bayt. So when they start, this is again the sadness of the Sunni Muslims. One brother goes to me, he goes, why don't Ahlul Bayt narrate many hadith in the Sunni traditions? So I looked at him, and I goes, what do you mean? And he had the same concept as the Shia. Because there's not many hadiths from Hassan and Hussein, is there? And Fatima. Then I go, who's Ahlul Bayt? Look how, you know, tragic that is. Right? And then I go, so what about the wives? Aren't they Ahlul Bayt? He looked at me with a glazed look. Right? On, isn't Abdullah ibn Abbas Ahlul Bayt? Isn't Abbas Ahlul Bayt? Isn't Ja'far's children Ahlul Bayt? Isn't Aqil's children? Then there you go, isn't it? Bole Bali Musliman. That's the, but if he had said, why don't the core of the Ahlul Bayt narrate my, that's something else. He didn't say that. And there you go. You know, so again, it's very important to understand. To conclude, there is a hadith which needs to be clarified. In Sahih Muslim, number 6228, The people asked Zayd ibn Arq, Man ahlu bayti nisa'u? Who are the ahl al-bayt, his wives? This time he answered differently. He said, no, no. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why? For a woman may be with a man only for a part of his lifetime. Then he divorces her and she goes back to her father and her people. Ahlu bayti aslu wa asbatu hulladhina hurimus sadaqata ba'da. The Ahlul Bayt are his origin and his male relatives to whom zakat was forbidden after he was gone. So this is a hadith which they use. They goes, look, Zayd ibn Arqam contradicted himself. He became old, he can't be used as a proof. So we said, who said he contradicted himself? Well, on one occasion he goes, the wives are the family of the Prophet. And in the other report he says, no, the wives aren't the family of the Prophet because they can go back to they can get divorced. So what's the response? The response is very simple. Firstly, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never divorced any of his wives. So as soon as he passed away, left the world sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were permanent Ahlul Bayt now, the mothers of the believers. And secondly, in Sahih Muslim number 6225, Zayd said, Nisa'uhu min ahli bayti, walakin ahlu baytihi man hurimas shadaqata ba'da. His wives are amongst the Ahlul Bayt. But the Ahlul Bayt are those to whom zakat is forbidden. Note how the innovators are more selective in their narratives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from deviation and misguidance. Ameen. So why we mention all this here? Because this is actually the strongest proof, not the hadiths. Sara, the angel said to them, unless they're going to deny this verse of the Quran, أَتَعَجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَقَاتُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Do you wonder at the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grace of Allah and His blessings be upon you, O Ahlul Bayt? For he is indeed worthy of all praise, full of glory. So the Quran is testifying that the wives of the prophets are from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to add that verse, Allah ta'ala only intends to purify you from all filth and to give you a complete purification. The key word in that verse is irad. He intends to purify you, meaning they have to do something. It's not automatic purification. Meaning if you do what you do, Allah Ta'ala will purify you. If you don't, the Quran says, you'll get double punishment because of their status. Close to Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Irad means this. They have to be doing something to be purified. So note, they've concocted a whole belief system around this verse. And they're excluding family from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just to cling on to their warped belief system. But this is always a thorn in their side, i.e. certain passages of the glorious Quran. And as one scholar jokingly said, what sort of family excludes the mother from the family? Imagine somebody goes to you, is your father your family? Yes. Is your brother your family? Yes. Son? Yeah. Daughter? Yeah. Your mother? No. The mothers been left out of the family. Ummul Mu'mineen. That's why he's called the mothers. He goes, look at these fruitcakes. Allah Ta'ala's called the mothers because they're not part of the family. Even Khadija, she has a place, but she's not Ahlul Bayt. The one who carried Fatima is not Ahlul Bayt. Think about that. Astaghfirullah. And note at the end of the holy verse, how does the angels at earth conclude? Innahu Hamidun Majid. Why is that fascinating? Because when we do Durood Sharif, how do we finish it? Innaka Hamidun Majid. The same words. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidun Majid. Why do we say that? Bole bali Muslims, right? Because we're emulating the angels. And the Prophet told us to do this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'll recite the verses, so we will conclude. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى قَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ فَمَا لَبِثَ عَنْ جَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيذٍ فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ النَّكِرَهُمْ وَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَى قَوْمِ لُوطٍ وامرأته قائمة فضحكت فبشرناه بإسحاق ومن وراء إسحاق يعقوب. قالت يا ويلتى أألد وأنا عجوز وهذا بعلي شيخا إن هذا لشيء عجيب. قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله رحمة الله وبركاته عليكم أهل البيت إنه حميد مجيد. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts, and I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شاء الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصوا بالحق وواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.